What do you want for Christmas? Your answer tends to give away your age. We expect with little children that they have their list of dolls and action figures or that sort of thing. And as kids get a little older, maybe teenage years, it becomes more electronic in nature, iPads and so on. As they get into college, they have different wants, mostly a nap or school to get done. As they get a little bit older, younger woman might be looking for an engagement ring, younger guy, sports car. A little bit older, new parents just want their baby to sleep through the night. Get a little bit older to my age, you just want them to get along. At some point, that transitions to wanting your parents to have health. And that gives way to just wanting to not hurt when you get out of bed. And oftentimes, near the end of life, I've talked to people who what they want for Christmas really has nothing to do with this world at all. And they just want to be with the Lord or be with their departed spouse. And action figures and electronics seem like the most ridiculous suggestion ever. I saw a video recently, and I was going to show it to you, except it's not in English, and the subtitles were really, really tiny. But it was an interview with a group of children, and they were asked three questions. And the first is, what would you want from Santa Claus this year? And they gave their list. You can probably guess what it was, mostly toys and stuff. But then they were asked a follow-up question, which was, what would you like from your parents this year? And it didn't include any toys at all. Little girl wanted to spend some time cooking with her mom. Little boy wanted to play ball with his dad. One kid just wanted a whole day with their parents. But then the last question was, if you could get everything on your list to Santa, or you could get everything on your list to your parents, which one would you rather have? And they all picked, they'd rather get the gifts from their parents. And then the parents cried because they realized they'd done Christmas completely wrong. God chooses to reveal himself to us as our Father, as a parent. And how does that affect how we pray? Because oftentimes it's easy to treat God more like Santa Claus than a parent and only go when we have a list of wants. Santa Claus is only at the mall November and December. He's not there in July. If you're not working on a wish list, you don't have a reason to go wait for him and pay $30 to get your picture taken in a candy cane, right? And oftentimes, we treat God like Santa Claus, where when we have specific things on our wish list, we go to him. But otherwise, we don't. It's easier to be a good Christian when your life is a mess, because you're going to go to God. Even atheists do. It's harder to be a good Christian when your life is going good, when you don't have anything on your wish list. But think of it, if you had a child who is just this spoiled, rotten little brat, okay? And the only time the child ever went to their parent was when they wanted something or needed something. But otherwise, they never, ever talked to their parent, and they just lived life on their own. What would you think of that kid, right? Exactly. But then, how often do we act like that with God? When your life's all jacked up, it's easy to go to God. But when things are comfortable, it's different. Yet imagine instead having this child who would come to you and say, Mom or Dad, I don't care what you give me. I just want to be with you because I love you, not just your stuff. Moses is one of those people in the Bible who he had some ups and he had some downs, and his downs were really down, killing someone, being suicidal, blowing off God, pretty low downs. And his ups were really high. When you think of Moses' ups, you probably think of parting the sea, receiving the Ten Commandments. But that's not what I think of. I think of the reading today, which is Exodus 33, beginning at verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, Depart, go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought up out of the land of Egypt, to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, To your offspring I will give it. I will send an angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey. But I will not go among you, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people. God had promised to the Israelites that they would get this land flowing with milk and honey, that their enemies would fall. And you have to read those first couple books to get the whole story, but basically, God takes them out of slavery into freedom. And then as they're entering into freedom and passing towards the promised land, they spend the whole time complaining. They spend the whole time wishing life were a little easier, like back when they were slaves. How quickly they forgot their situation. And so they're constantly grumbling to Moses, and Moses repeats the grumbles to God. And God gets to the point where he says, You know what? You can just have this land, that land you've had on the top of your wish list forever. You can have it. I'll even throw in an angel, and I'll even make sure all your enemies are not in your way. However, because of your disobedience, I'm not going to be there with you. And then we pick up on verse 15, Exodus 33, 15. And Moses said to God, If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth? Moses says, even if you'll give me the promised land and an angel and no enemies, if you're not going to be there with us, I don't want it. Moses, as the leader of the nation, can get everything all the people want. But if the wish list is completed apart from God, he doesn't want it. More important to Moses is having the relationship with his father than having the stuff his father can give him. The easiest way to get everything you want this time of year is to simplify what you want. Martin Luther King Jr., he preached the night before he was killed, so he didn't know he was doing it at the time. But he spoke about the scope of his life and what he had wanted and what he needed. It's the I've been to the mountaintop speech. And he starts the ending of it with a simple phrase, I just want to do God's will. At the end of his life, even as a young man, he'd already reached that place very few people reach, where he didn't really care about his life or his stuff or what would happen to him. He just wanted to do God's will. Your faith is planted the first time you choose to do something because it's what God wants when it's not what you would want. Your faith grows as you continue to try to choose to do what God wants over what you want. And your faith blossoms and spreads when things in your life don't turn out the way you'd want them to, and yet you find yourself thanking God anyway. Whatever your age, whatever your station, whatever your circumstances, what God wants for Christmas from us is for our wish list to be rather simple. To choose a relationship with him over the stuff he can give. To treat him as a father we want to come to and have a relationship with. Not as just a Santa Claus who can give us stuff. To, at some point, be able to say with Moses, if I had to choose between getting everything but not having you, all I want is you.